All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. When the faith of the saints is written about in a passage such as Hebrews 11, it's most commonly in conjunction with trials. At your leisure, you can read through Hebrews 11. Let me read you some of this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Where you find faith, a believer, you'll find a trial. You'll find a trial. The Lord said that in this world you shall have tribulation, but we're happy even in the midst of our trials. Peter begins here in 1 Peter 1:6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. And he's talking about what he had said before. We have reason to rejoice because every believer is chosen of God. He's redeemed by the blood of Christ. He's born again by the Spirit of God. He's given a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We rejoice in the fact that we have an inheritance reserved for us. We rejoice that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. And yet, he says here, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Temptations here doesn't mean temptations to sin, it means trials, which God decrees and brings to pass, permits to come upon us from the affliction of those who are his enemies. But believers are happy. We rejoice greatly, but we're often in heaviness through these trials. Paul described it this way, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And he says here, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, the proving of your faith to be genuine, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Just like pure gold is put in a fire and it comes out and it's proven to be pure gold, well, genuine faith, true God-given faith, is going to be put through fiery trials and come out proven to be genuine faith. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, skip down now, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. You never have seen Christ with physical eyes, but you see him by faith and you believe him. You love him. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Though you still don't see him, yet believing, in the midst of trials, you still rejoice with joy unspeakable. just can't be spoken too much of. It can't be really spoken about. It's just joy unspeakable. Glorying in the Lord who keeps us. And he says here that this trial of your faith comes to this end, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Those who endure to the end, persevere to the end, shall be crowned with glory, everlasting life by the Lord. Now we have many reasons, believers have many reasons to joy in trials. I want to look at this tonight under three headings here. Three things that just stuck out to me in this text. First is trials are only for a little season. He says here in verse 6, now for a season. Secondly, trials are given by God as needed. He says here in verse 6, if need be. And thirdly, through trials, we're being kept and brought to our desired end, to that end which we desire. Verse 9, even the salvation of your souls. First of all, we rejoice. We have great reason to rejoice because the trial is for a season. Just for a season. It says here, now for a season. Therefore, this present time. They're for now. You know, there's different types of trials, and I don't mean how they come about and the substance of the trial. I mean there are trials that happen this week, or may be coming this month, or may come about this year. And then there are trials which are the trials of this life, this whole trial of life we're in. But we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. But they're only for a season, for a short time. And as Paul said, they're little and they're light, not maybe now at the present, but they're little and they're light in comparison with the good and the profit that God is going to give us by them, and they're good in comparison with eternity. They're just for a moment in comparison with eternity. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's speaking of earthly fathers in the Hebrew letter in Hebrews 12. Paul said, for they verily for a few days chastened us. You remember when you were at home with your father and he corrected you, chastened you, lovingly cared for you, provided for you. You felt like those days would last forever. But now you look back on them and you realize that was just for a little season, wasn't it? Well, that's what he says about these trials. It's just for a little season. Turn over with me to Lamentations 3. And we can be sure that the faithful Father who sends the trial, he has set the exact time for the trial to end. These trials that may be heavy right now upon us, right now, these trials that may come upon us, throughout this life, he set an end for each one. And he's also set the end of this whole trial that we are in called life. Look here at Lamentations 3:31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. It may seem like he's cast off forever. It may seem like he's hidden his face forever, that his help is far from us, but the reality is he never casts off those he's everlastingly loved. Never. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? And he started with saying, shall tribulation, shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, I'm persuaded nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The child of God has this sure consolation. We have this sure assurance that following the grief, there's going to be compassion. In the midst of the grief, there's going to be compassion. Look there again at Lamentations 3:32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Our Father's compassions are equal to the multitude of his mercies. Yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Peter calls his mercies abundant mercies. And there in accordance, his compassion is abundant compassion toward his children. The psalmist said he hasn't dealt with us after our sins. Aren't you thankful? Believer, aren't you thankful? God hasn't dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And he says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He knows we're dust. Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have trials in this life that come to you by the direct hand of your faithful Heavenly Father and know that he is doing it for your profit? Would you rather have that, or would you rather be left to yourself in this world? That's why I read Luke chapter 6 to you. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. But woe unto you that are rich, for you've received your consolation. I'd rather have the faithful hand of a father, even if it means trial. You children have fathers in your homes that deal with you faithfully. Won't leave you to yourself. And at the time, that may come across as being very unpleasant at times. But that's faithfulness. You'd much rather have that than a father that just left you alone and let you just be turned out and go in a broad way. Well, this is our promise. He's appointed this trial for a little season, and he'll have compassion according to the multitude of his tender mercies. That gives us reason to rejoice. Here's the second thing we have reason to rejoice in. Is he only gives trials as needed. As needed. Verse 6, in our text, he said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, what is it that the trial, what is it we may need? Well, we may need to be weaned from depending on the things of this world. We all need that. Some of us, brethren, need it more at some times than other times, but we all need it. And he's doing that. He's weaning us from this world. We're so prone to start looking at the gold and the silver of this world, or at our jobs, or at our homes, or at whatever it is that gives us some confidence and gives us some assurance and makes us think that we're secure somehow. We're so prone to start looking at those things and feel very secure and not even realize that we're really putting our trust in those things. But he's faithful. He won't leave us there. He won't let us be separated from the one who is all our hope and all our stay. Look at 1 Peter 1, down there in verse 18. He says, for as much as you know, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's going to bring us to set our affection on things above, because he says this, for you're dead and your real life is hid with God in Christ. It's not hid here. It's not anywhere here. It's not in treasures below. It's our treasure. Our life is hid with God in Christ. Well, the trial may be to grow us in grace. He may be sending the trial to grow us in grace, especially in humility and patience to wait on God. To wait on God. Look over there at 1 Peter 5. Peter says there, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, I never put this together but look over at Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5. Paul was speaking of being justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We rejoice in hope and in the glory of God. And he says this, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, steadfastness, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, when did Christ come and deliver those given him before the foundation of the world? When did he come and deliver them? And what was your state when he came and delivered you? By laying down his life. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When did he do it? When we were completely without strength, in due time, in his time. Now, consider what you were then, and consider by his grace what you are now. And I'll read on verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, without strength, ungodly, Christ died for us. That's when he did it. That's where we were. Much more then, being now, justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when was the time he did that? When we were enemies. And if he did it when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we glory in tribulations, don't we? Why? Because they're working patience. They're teaching us to wait for his due time. And that due time's going to be when he's brought us to be without any strength in ourselves, that he might show us that all our strength, all our being kept is by his power. That's what James said when he said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Same thing Peter said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, the trial may be sent to you that you may be able to comfort your brethren who are suffering in trial. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, even Christ. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. The Apostle Peter suffered a great trial. He began to be to look at his graces, and he began to have the pride of grace and think, I won't deny you. These others might, but I won't. Even though the Word of God says, the Lord said that, told him, you will all deny me tonight, for it's written. You'll forsake. He said, I won't. But he did. Then after he did that, the Lord came to him. And he, having risen from the dead, came to him. Peter over and over speaks of that. That hope. That meant a lot to Peter. That Christ came to him having been risen from the dead. He mentions that more than any other apostle. He did this after he was risen from the dead. And he came and he comforted him. And now, what's Peter doing? He's writing this letter to other brethren suffering trials, comforting them with the same comfort wherewith he was comforted, Christ the Lord. That's what he meant when he said, verse 3, praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We got our Lord is alive. And he came, just as he came to Peter and strengthened him and comforted him, so he comes to his children and he comforts us. And we need for brethren to remind us. How often do we have the burden and the weight upon us from the trial, and we go to Christ in prayer and we ask him to take this burden. We ask him, Lord, take this. Would you deliver me from this? And then we get finished praying and we just go right on worrying about it, don't we? Carrying it ourselves. Well, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's what Peter said. That's what Peter learned. Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. Well, the trial might be to teach us to redeem the time that we have. Look there in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Remember when the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came to him. Remember that? And he said, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. And he came back and they were asleep. Remember that? And he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he went away and he prayed and he came back. They were asleep. He told them, be sober. Watch. He went away and he came back. They were asleep again. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. It's weak. Oh, be sober. Be vigilant. Be redeem the time. I was thinking about this. I was talking to a brother yesterday, and we were talking about this, talking about Brother Tommy Robbins and our visits with him and what have you. And we were talking about this. Would we value the time that we have to teach sinners if we knew we only had 6 months to live? Well, think about it in this way. What if we knew that the world would end in 6 months? Now we're not only going to be taken out of it. We have confidence and hope in our Lord, and we've been begotten again by his grace and brought to behold that he has redeemed us from all iniquity, that he's purged our sin, that we've been washed in His blood, and that we're accepted in the Beloved, that we have been from before the foundation of the world, according as God chose us and put us in Him, that we might be holy and without blame before Him in love. We behold that. We have a good hope. But now that you know the world's going to end in 6 months, you think about that, then you think about your children that don't yet know the Lord. Now it's not just us that's going to leave it in 6 months. Now we're thinking about somebody else. Would we then value the time more than we do now when we think we have plenty of time? Yeah, this trial, the trials that come about in this life, it might be sickness or something of that nature. It might come about to give us a fresh remembrance, to be sober and to redeem the time, to watch, be prayerful, to be looking for a time right now to teach our children. Well, so the first thing is, brethren, we know that it's for a season. And it's a short season. It's just a little season. The second thing is He sends it if need be. It's going to be needful. It's going to be profitable to draw us to Christ. And here's the third thing. We rejoice in the trial for the chief end to which God's bringing us. Verse 7, 1 Peter 1, 7, he says that, and I'm going to skip some words here so we can get this, that your faith, drop down, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's the power of God's keeping grace causing every believer to do? What's the peaceable fruit of righteousness that the Spirit of God is going to cause to be yielded in you, believer, through a trial? Look here, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. You're going to increase faith and love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, nobody but a child of God really understands how that through suffering, through trials, that God the Father increases faith and hope and love in Him. True faith, it springs up in the soil that's been tilled by God sending trial, and it's watered by many tears, but we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Just think about that. Look at that with me, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The power of God gives persevering faith. And persevering faith depends entirely upon the power of God. That's an inseparable bond right there. Isn't it? And that's what He does through these. He has the power to send just what we need when we need it, just for the due time that we need it, to cause us to see that we're kept by the power of God so that we persevere, our faith's increased, our love for Christ is increased, and we persevere in faith, trusting Him to keep us by that very same power. I love that. And here's, when we're kept by the power of God through faith, here's the chief end, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. When we come to that day, I thought about this. Maybe I said this to you recently. I don't remember, but I think it was at Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time. We pulled out a bunch of old home movies and started watching all these old home movies. And we watched Emma and Will, and we just sat and laugh at ourselves, you know, and laugh at how the kids would laugh at how that, you know, Melinda or I would be telling them, you know, walk over here, don't walk over there, or don't jump off of that, you know, or, you know, whatever. And they just do it anyway, fall down. And now they know. Now they know. And we look back at those things now and we think, oh, I was just such a... They laugh at how, what a little child you were, didn't you? Laughed at that. That's when this trial is brought to its end. We're going to see what children we were. How we were ever dependent, even when we didn't know we were dependent. Even in those times we thought we were self-sufficient, ever dependent. Ever dependent. Art and I have been talking about that, about how you come to these times where, you know, there's times in your life where you everything is removed from your hands to where there's just nothing you can do to fix it. And you realize in those times how utterly dependent you are. And it makes you realize, I'm always that utterly dependent. I just don't always see it. Don't always know it. This is what he said. Look back there at James chapter 1. This is what James said. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's trial. He endures the trial. That's what we're talking about. To the end. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, when it's all done, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now, so in light of all that, should we value the trial? Should we rejoice even in tribulation? We should, shouldn't we? They're needful for us. Very precious. The faith is precious. And the trial that tries and proves our need. That's what the proving is. Proving our need. Our dependence. On the Lord himself. That's what faith is. That's what it's proving to us. And it's proven to be genuine faith. So what do we do then? Well, let's look at just a couple of scriptures and we'll be done. Hebrews 12. What do we do then? He said, let us lay aside, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. There's that word, steadfastness, endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. He endured. What he endured? He endured the cross. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look down at verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Where? Right. After Christ, following him, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's just one more way of what Peter said. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. You know what Jeremiah said in Lamentations? There in Lamentations 3. He said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands. It's not just an outward thing. It's a heart matter. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. And let us be in subjection to the Heavenly Father. This is what the psalmist wrote. This is our spirit. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. It's faithfulness. Paul said, we've been in subjection to our fathers. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and be saved? Sure. We know it's right. In faithfulness, he's done it. As a faithful father, he's done it. And here's the third thing. Let us rest in this assurance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. But the Lord deliver them out. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Truth about trials. That's some reason to rejoice in them, isn't it? Amen.